If you travel for work, you know to pack two suits, business and swim. You know with your Delta SkyMiles Business Amex card, buying that plane ticket for a business trip can get you closer to medallion status. You know that a meeting in Montana means visiting almost every national park.
Yellowstone? Check.
Because you're the chief excursion officer. It's why you're a Delta SkyMiles Platinum Business American Express card member. If you travel, you know. Terms apply. Visit go.amex/youknowbusiness.
Keep your money local. Bring it home to a Wintrust Community Bank, home of Cubs checking with free ATMs nationwide. Find out more at wintrust.com/Cubs. Member FDIC.
Hey guys, welcome into the Cubs Talk Podcast brought to you by Wintrust. Tony Andracki here with Scott Chagnon. We are traveling back to Chicago, road tripping back to Chicago from St. Louis. Cubs just took 2 out of 3 in St. Louis and are now 24-13 since they got swept out of this out of Busch Stadium at the beginning of May. Scotty, I know we...
Well, first off, I want to say, you know, that I probably lost 5 pounds in this humidity and heat down here.
It was insane. It was absolutely insane. I mean, Addison Russell said he liked it, but for the most part, everybody else could not stand the sweltering heat.
Besides the sweltering heat, the Cubs, you know, had some hot bats in the first two games of the series, especially after coming in from Milwaukee, being shut out 2 games in a row, coming in, taking care of business Friday and Saturday. Not so much tonight, being shut out, kind of had the same kind of flashback to the Milwaukee series. But thoughts on Javier Baez's elbow contusion tonight?
Yeah, you know, that was a scary moment. He was jumping up and down and holding his arm. Javi said that he actually couldn't feel his arm for about an hour. He just wasn't really moving it. But all's well that ends well, I guess. And Javi right now says that there is no big issue. The Cubs are just calling it a contusion. He got hit right on the elbow, right on kind of that funny bone where that nerve meets the like joint there. And I mean, he had it wrapped up and he iced it for a while, but honestly, Javi didn't even rule out playing Monday night against the Dodgers. So, you know, it was very scary and everybody was thinking for maybe about an hour or so, like what would the Cubs do without Javi? And they don't have to worry about that, at least for the time being. The news is so good. The Cubs originally had an x-ray scheduled for him to make sure there's nothing more sinister going on in that elbow, and they actually canceled the x-ray. So they really think that it'll be all right moving forward.
Yeah, it's incredible when you watch the replay and you hear the audio of the contact of the ball hitting his elbow. I could have swore it was something had to have broken, right?
Yeah, where it sounded like it was hitting the bat or anything, but it was nuts. But I think the big thing is it just kind of underscores. I remember this happened the last time we were here in St. Louis. It was the Sunday night game in extra innings, and Javi had this like swing, and he ended up hitting a homer in whatever that was, the 13th inning or 12th inning. But he had a swing like right before where it looked like he was kind of like his back was an issue, and then he slid in the hole at shortstop, and it looked like his back was an issue. So, you know, both times he's had a little bit of bad injury luck on Sunday night games here in St. Louis. But I think it just underscores the point of where would the Cubs be without Javi Baez? And if he were to miss a month or miss an extended period of time, what would this team do? And, you know, he's hitting like 170 with a 500 OPS in June. He's really been struggling lately. That being said, he's still fifth in the National League in RBI. He's still one of the Cubs' most dynamic players on the base paths, in the field, the ability to play shortstop, second base, third base, even first if they needed him to, hit pretty much anywhere in the lineup, especially when he is going well. And he has the ability to hit really elite pitching. I mean, there's no pitcher that always gets the best of Javi. I mean, for the most part, Javi still gets himself out, but he can go up against some of the best pitchers in the league, hit a pitch out of the zone from Max Scherzer into the right field bleachers, and there you go, bam, instant offense.
Yeah, and you know, hearing him post-game tonight, sounds like he, I mean, if I was a betting man, I would say he's probably going to be out of the lineup tomorrow, but you know, for that to be the only case, if he's maybe out only 1 or 2 games, that's a huge victory for the Cubs.
Yeah, I agree, and you know what, I also think it kind of brings to light where Addison Russell stands right now with this team. Russell was out of the lineup Sunday for Baez. Again, we talked about the sweltering heat, but the Cubs are also in the midst of 17 games in 17 days. So with the heat, with that in mind, Joe Maddon really wants to make sure that everybody's getting rest. We saw Jason Hayward out the first game of the series. We've seen Almora out. Chris Bryant was out on Wednesday. And, you know, I'm sure Wilson Contreras is going to be out one of these first couple games against Los Angeles here as well. But it's, I think Addison Russell is one of the most important players for the Cubs moving forward. He's a polarizing player. You look at anybody on Twitter and they're frustrated that he doesn't throw the ball to third base in that sixth inning where the Cardinals ended up scoring a couple runs. Or he had a throw that skipped away from Rizzo in the eighth inning and ended up leading to a run or two. At the same time, he's still the second best offensive player in all of baseball. He has the second most defensive runs saved behind only Oakland's Matt Chapman. So Russell is a huge part of what the Cubs do at defense, at the most important position on defense and shortstop. And then at the same time, offensively, he's got an on-base percentage over 350 now. His average is up to 277. And he did actually show a little bit of power this weekend. He had a couple doubles and then a homer on Friday and Saturday. But he still strikes out with looking on Saturday with runners on second and third. And so I just think he's a guy that, as he ascends more, I mean, he really can change the landscape of the lineup. But he also is so important to what the Cubs do defensively. So I think Addison Russell really needs to step up, regardless, you know, if Javi obviously looks okay. But either way, I think Russell really needs to start ascending for the Cubs to kind of find their rhythm here over the next couple of weeks.
And going back to the series in general, you know, with tonight's loss, looking at Jose Quintana's outing, he actually had a pretty good outing. It just kind of got away from him near the end there. Thoughts on what he said postgame about the heat really getting to him? I think we talked to Lester last night, and he really didn't say it mattered at all to him, but kind of felt different with Quintana tonight.
Yeah, well, Lester, it's not that he said it didn't matter. He just, you know, felt good and everything throughout, and he was able to limit pitch count a little bit more than Kyle Hendricks was on Saturday night and Quintana was on Sunday night.
Yeah.
But all three pitchers, I mean, they did mention how difficult it is to pitch through the heat, and we saw that from the Cardinals side too. I mean, Jack Flaherty Sunday night only ended up throwing, I think, five innings as well. And the Cubs really got into that weak and kind of inconsistent Cardinals bullpen for four innings and yet still couldn't score. So, you know, Quintana admitted that he was losing steam a bit there after the fifth inning and ended up giving up two kind of weak ground ball hits to begin the sixth. That being said, you know, I think at only 80-something pitches, you could have made the case that he should have come out of the game after the fifth inning. And that's a second-guess Joe Maddon, but it's kind of funny. I mean, everybody's upset that Maddon doesn't let Kyle Hendricks pitch deeper into a game a week or two ago and pinch hits for him early. And then Quintana almost goes too long when it would have been justified for him to be out at five innings around 80 pitches. So it's really tough determining when a starting pitcher is going to be in and how long they should stay in and how much to tax the bullpen, because that's the other thing going into this factor here. The Cubs, they really need this bullpen over the 17-day stretch as well. So, I mean, Maddon had to go to a guy like Anthony Bass. The Cubs want to make sure that they can trust all of their relievers down there. They don't want to just rely on Brandon Morrow or Justin Wilson or something like, you know, Steve Cishek every single one of these games. So I think it was an all right decision to see if Quintana could pitch through it, but ultimately, yeah, he just was kind of gassed and velocity was down and the heat got to him.
And one thing we talked about with the players in the clubhouse a lot this week was the starting rotation and how it's improved over the last couple of weeks and, you know, kind of coming up to par of where they need to be in order to be, important down the stretch, especially we're getting into the later months of the season here, getting closer to the All-Star break.
Yeah, definitely. The starting rotation has been the main reason why the Cubs haven't rattled off a really good run. You know, we've seen them obviously play well, as we already mentioned. They're 24-13, I think, now since they left St. Louis the first weekend of May. So that's a pretty good stretch. I mean, that's 11 games over 500 for like 6 weeks, you know, 5-6 week stretch. But the reason they're not ascending even further than that is the starting rotation. I mean, Tyler Chatwood's still barely getting five innings of work, if he ever is, which puts emphasis on the bullpen, and it makes the offense have to come from behind and just puts more pressure everywhere. But that being said, John Lester has been a saving grace for this team. He really has. It's incredible what he's done. I mean, he's gone six or seven innings, I think, in six straight outings now, and it's just, it's exactly what the Cubs need out of their ace. And Kyle Hendricks is kind of fighting it a little bit. He said he's not quite where he needs to be, but he feels like he's right around the corner.
And he's not, like you said, you know, if he was a rookie or one of his first couple of years in the league, he might not have taken it as well as he is now.
Yeah, I mean, he's learned quite a bit, and he's such a smart, intelligent guy that, you know, we know that his head's always going to be there. Right now, he's just fighting his mechanics just a bit, and his mistakes are hurting him, as it did the other night when Marcell Ozuna hit a two-run homer. But, you know, I think Hendricks feels he's right around the corner. I think Tyler Chatwood feels he's right around the corner, and the Cubs have figured something out there. And then Mike Montgomery has been incredible in the rotation.
And maybe that last piece of the puzzle with Yu Darvish, you know, hopefully coming back before the All-Star break. You know, it's funny, we were out there in the press box. They saw him throwing lefties at the end of his workout. But, you know, how important would he be to the rotation once he gets back and healthy?
You know what? I mean, we talk about polarizing players. I think what Russell is on the position player, I mean, obviously Darvish is in terms of the pitching staff. This guy, they gave him $126 million and probably even more than the money, because, I mean, money's, you know, whatever. It doesn't really change how the Cubs view the game, whether he's getting paid $126 million or $26 million. But he is under contract for 6 years, and the first 3 months here in Chicago have really not gone well. I mean, Randy Rosario, who obviously didn't start the year up with the big league club, he has 3 wins. Yu Darvish has 1. This is not what the Cubs were expecting from this guy. So when he does come back from this triceps issue, I really think that he needs to get back and start pitching consistently. But I think I'm more curious to see what the Cubs do when Darvish comes back. It'll be, you know, if he does come back, if the, you know, right before the All-Star break, or if he comes back right after, either way, that breaks right there, and they don't really need to worry about going to a six-man rotation. So who goes back to the bullpen? Because right now, I tell you, there's no way in hell that it's Mike Montgomery.
No way. So we have a big series coming up at Wrigley Field Monday night against the Dodgers. It'll be on NBC Sports Chicago with that coverage starting at 6:30 p.m. Thoughts on the Dodgers? It'll be Chatwood versus Maeda on Monday night.
Yeah, I think it's another big series here, and you know, we're saying that this is such a key stretch, and it really is because of the opponents, because the Cardinals and then the Dodgers come to town, and then I think it's Cincinnati, but then the Cubs go to LA, and they're going to see the Dodgers 7 times in about a 10-day span here coming up, 10 or 11-day span. And that's huge because the Dodgers are playing really well right now despite losing a lot of guys. Corey Seager's out for the year. Kershaw's on the DL again, and so on and so forth. I think Rich Hill's in the DL. But more than anything, it's not even the Cubs necessarily stacking up next to the Dodgers. I think we need to see what this offense is going to do next, because you already mentioned they've been shut out 3 times in the last 5 games, including, you know, ending both series in Milwaukee and St. Louis against divisional opponents. But they, over their last 20 games, whenever they score more than one run, they're undefeated. They're 14-0. But if they score one or fewer runs, they're 0-6. It's just a feast or famine, Jekyll and Hyde type offense. And the Cubs are really obviously trying to get past that. They think that they're on the right path with more contact and using the whole field, going the other way more, relying on that more than home runs, which last year they were probably a little too home run dependent. So they think that they're on the right path, but they're still not there yet. I mean, Chris Bryant still doesn't look like himself. Kyle Schwarber hit a ball, you know, pretty much to the moon this weekend. But other than that, you know, didn't have a huge series. We mentioned Addison Russell's up and down play. Still, Russell and Wilson Contreras are combined for, I think, only 17 homers. Or they're on pace to be combined for only 17 homers. That's not what you expect from a team that, you know, Wilson Contreras is hitting 4 or 5 every day. And Addison Russell hit 21 homers and drove in 95 runs 2 years ago as a 22-year-old. So I think overall this offense still has a lot to prove. And going up against a good pitching staff in L.A. that shut them down in the NLCS last year, this would be a great test for this lineup.
All right, that'll do it for the Cubs Talk podcast brought to you by Wintrust. Head to wintrust.com/Cubs for more info. For Tony Andracki, I'm Scott Chagnon. We'll get back at you later this week with another podcast recapping the series and getting you guys ready for the upcoming weekend. Have a good one.
If you travel, you know how to pull off a perfect getaway. You know, after you enroll with your Delta SkyMiles Platinum American Express card, you get up to $10 back monthly on U.S. rideshare purchases with select providers, like a car to the airport. You know which remote retreats have the best herbal baths. and where the Wi-Fi password is rarely used. Because you're the escape artist. It's why you're a Delta SkyMiles Platinum American Express card member. If you travel, you know. Terms apply. Purchases must be on card. Visit go.amex/you know.